So I got the anchors on. I got the anchors on the back. I also got it. Anybody want to take a test? I had that in that pile too. Okay. Let's see. Let me have another one of them too, Eddie. I thought I had a couple extras. Nobody got another test, did you? Everybody got the outline instead of a test? Okay, bro. I need one of those too so I can see what's going on. Okay, on the back is pictures. If you'd like, I'll pass out some crayons. We can color them in. Remember, I told you I was going to tell you about the five kind of anchors. And actually, remember, Jesus is our anchor, period. Jesus is our anchor. His word is our anchor. But we have, usually there's many types of trials we all go through, but you can still classify a lot of things in five different arenas. And so we're just going to kind of go through this. And you can turn over and look at it and see what, there's the mushroom, the fluke, the plow, the claw, and the sea anchor. Okay? The nautical people in here, y'all have probably used 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe all five of them. I don't know. I've not used all five of them. I've used several of them. And fountain power boats, they did not need the sea anchor. Matter of fact, I think all they used there was the fluke and the mushroom. But here we go. Let's go through this, and we're going to let the Lord work on us. Amen. I like when he works on me. Oh, sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I'll be honest. How many times do you love it when it works on you? Then how many times do you don't like it? Okay. I'm going to say 75-25. Y'all figure out which one I like the most. Okay. Here we go. What an anchor is to the ship, hope is to the soul. They both stabilize and they hold steady amidst the storms of life. So every Christian has been given a secure anchor in the person of Christ. And we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Now, there's a difference in firm and secure. I like if you remember that, too. Firm means that it can stand up to whatever is up against it. And secure means once it latches down, it's not going to pull up. Okay? So there is a difference, firm and secure. Now here's typically ships cannot survive. And I do put a lot of stuff in here. I understand that. Instead of putting fill in the blanks, I just highlighted the words. But again, I'm giving you this so that you can help somebody else. All right? When you get talking to somebody else, you'll realize as you're talking, you can talk with somebody 5 minutes. Matter of fact, I wish you would take your little notebook and put this stuff in it. And then when you're talking with somebody, if you understand when you're talking on the phone or even talking with them over a cup of coffee and you realize, hey, this is the arena they're in, then you can jump in that thing and you can start pulling this stuff out and you'll be able to be a very effective minister. And that's what we want to be, is an effective minister. Amen. We don't want it just to be a get-by. We want it to be effective. It's like as a father, as a mother, as a worker, you didn't want it to just be a get-by. You wanted it to be effective. And the same way, you want it to be effective when people call you, because God will put people in your path to talk to. And there's been times over the years, I remember Brother Haslip got me. He got me so good. I thought I was doing good. I just got to Greenville Church of God, and I was just doing my internship program. And I'd stay over there on Sunday afternoons for hours in the nursery, and I would do my work because we had to read, in 8 months, we had to read 28-plus books, and we had to read the Bible through, and I had to read 4 more books for the Church of God, and it was to do with polity and history, and so it was a lot of reading, and they gave you a daily schedule, and if you missed one day, 2 days catching up. Sometimes I spend all day Saturday just trying to catch up, read 300 pages just to catch up. It was reading all the time. I didn't watch TV. I mean, I was reading from stoplight to stoplight in Greenville because you would take forever to get through Greenville. And so I remember one day I was in there and I was studying and the phone rang. And I picked it up and somebody said, I'm in desperate need of prayer. I mean, desperate need of prayer. Can you get somebody to pray for me? And I said, sure, I'll tell them when they come in. Bye. I went back to reading. Brother Hazel came in and said, Brother Hazel, you need to get to prayer quick for somebody. and he said, what? I said, Brother Hazel, you need to get to praying quick for somebody. They called about an hour ago And they were needing desperate prayer right then. And I told them I'd get somebody for them. You're the first one to walk in. And Brother Haslip said, have you lost it? And I thought I was doing good. I thought I'd taken the message and written it down. I was going to give it to him. He was going to give me an attaboy. And instead, he got the lashing out. He said, next time somebody asks you to pray for them, I don't care if you're in the middle of a checkout line. It doesn't matter if you're sitting waiting for a prescription. It doesn't matter where you're at. If somebody asks for prayer, you stop, drop, and pray for them right then. And said, especially a minister. He said, don't do that again. Do you understand me? And all I could think of, and he had a deep voice. And back then, he seemed to be about 10 foot tall and bulletproof. He said, do you understand me? And I said, yes, sir. Yeah. And so the same way, you know, there's times somebody might call you and you're thinking, you know what, my pastor, I've heard him speak on that just a couple weeks ago. I'll get him to talk to you. Wait a minute. You heard your pastor speak on it just a couple of weeks ago. And now you're going to get him. Wait. If you heard it just a couple weeks ago, isn't it possible that God was putting it in your head, loading your gun? You know, I tell people all the time, it may be your pig, but when it goes in my grinder, it's my sausage. Amen. Okay, you may have told it, but now I've got something that I got an understanding too, and I can give it. So after Brother Haslip got me, that never happened again, ever. We prayed right then. If somebody asked me at Walmart, pray for me. I put my hand around the back and said, okay, claim it. Okay, so here we go. So here's the anchors. First there is, and you can look on the back. Oh, let me read that little paragraph there. Typically, ships cannot survive the most severe storms without the use of anchors. And if you are anchorless in the sea of life, you will not survive. And that is a fact. All right? Because then you're subject to the waves, the wind, running into somebody else. There's all kinds of things. You know, when this fountain, and I'm going to do this some lessons I learned from Fountain, but you know, when Fountain would go out, when they had those big races and you saw the helicopters going around, a lot of times people thought those helicopters were there to just take pictures. No, they weren't. Those helicopters were there to go in front of the boat, and they were looking for obstacles. And so they could prepare them, and they would call down to the guy and say, okay, you need to pull to the right. There is a limb, or there is a something floating there. And I remember Wyatt went down to Key West, and he was helping a doctor who just bought a boat and wanted to race. And so he was there as a second man with him, and they didn't have the helicopter. And he ran into some kind of log in the water. And when he ran into the log in the water, of course, the boat capsized and started going down. And the doctor was having a hard time. And Wyatt said, just chill. The divers will be coming anytime. You have an air mask right here. Put it on when the water starts coming in the boat. Do not pop the canopy. And he said that doctor about beat him to death until those divers got there to get them out of the boat, because they were upside down in the water, water all around. So again, if you're anchorless in the sea of life, you're not going to survive. However, as long as you have an anchored life, though battered and bruised, you will still be held secure. Think about that. Although you have an anchor life, does not mean you're not going to go through anything. You're still going to go through things. You're going to go through things with or without him. So if I'm going to go through things with or without him, I'd much rather go through it with him than without him. Amen? And so you're going to go through it no matter what. Here's what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about some of those things. But here we go. As long as you have an anchor life, you will weather the storms of life. And since there are many types of anchors, let's look at the following five. There's even more types of anchors, but this is five categories. And you can look on the back and see it, and you'll see why they call it what they call it. First, there is the mushroom anchor. Now, the mushroom anchor are mostly used for smaller vessels such as rowboats and canoes, and they're the least efficient of an anchor because it has no arms. It's just like a little bell, and it goes down into water, again, for the smaller vessels. But again, Jesus, of course, all of these, Jesus is our anchor. But as a mushroom anchor is used for smaller watercraft, Jesus stabilizes us, though we move through the smaller, minor problems of everyday living. How many has been through some minor problems just today? You know, somebody didn't get scratched fast enough. Somebody itched too hard, or you got an itch and you couldn't scratch it, or something. You know, something happened today that if you could have changed it, you would have changed it. So Jesus stabilizes us as we move through these smaller, more minor problems of everyday living. So he actually helps us stay steady when people who gossip and gripe, who lie, who are lazy, who pout, who are petty, who annoy, and who are noisy. Wow. And nose, I was about to say. Noise, my glasses. I was going to say, you got an extra word. I didn't even think about putting nosy in there. I can't read, amen. Nosy. Praise God. Okay, so Jesus anchors us when we have frustrating friends, problems with our pets, worry at work, and the list keeps going on and on and on and on. Okay, a biblical example, Luke 5, 4 and 5, it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered him, Master, we have toiled all night." That word toiled means to be exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We have toiled all night. We are absolutely spent. And we've caught nothing, zilch, nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, some of the disciples of Jesus who were fishermen by trade experienced the frustration of working all night, yet ended up empty-handed. Wow. Knowing this, Jesus tells them, "Now I want you to put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And they said, "Master," or Simon said, "we've worked hard all night, we've caught nothing, but because you say so, we'll let down the net." So this really is more than just an anchor. This is more like when you're having these problems, just know that Jesus then honors their obedience by filling their nets with more fish than they could possibly ever hold. And we're going to talk a little bit about something to do with fishing this week coming up, but it's not going to be this fishing trip. It's going to be their last fishing trip is what we're going to talk about. So Jesus proves himself to be our anchor for the everyday trials of life. You might be here tonight and think, "Man, I have worked and worked and worked with a person at work, and they just get more hard-headed." Or, "I've worked and worked and worked with one of my kids, and they don't seem to be getting better. They're getting worse." Or, "If I could get one of those things that go on the sciatic leg nerve, I would put it on my husband's neck, and I would pull it tight." Either way, I can tell you, God is the anchor for the, I call it the piddly Mickey Mouse mess. If you ever talk about Mickey Mouse mess, that's what I'm talking about. To me, that's Mickey Mouse mess. That's minor compared to a lot of what I see a lot of people going through when they're fighting cancer or they're fighting some kind of terrible disease or they've got something terrible going on in their life or they just feel absolutely so distraught that they go to extreme measures. And we're going to talk about that a little later. So here we go. Number two. The fluke anchor. And then look on the back of your paper, you'll see the fluke anchor. Okay? There's the fluke. The fluke is a whole lot better than the mushroom. The mushroom is not going to do a whole lot to carry you to keep you still if the water gets rough. But the fluke will keep you steady. So here we go, the fluke. The fluke is also called a Danforth anchor. All right? So here's the fluke anchor. It's lightweight, but it has very high holding power. It buries into the water bottom, working best in sandy, muddy, or clay bottoms. Jesus is our anchor, just like the fluke anchor. Jesus stabilizes us with a very powerful, powerful hold and a sense of peace. He's strong and he's steady, and yet his presence brings us peace, a lightness. So what is that peace? A lightness. That's a good way to say it, a lightness. You know, my uncle, I didn't even know. I had no idea my uncle was paying attention to it. None. He was an alcoholic. He was all the time picking on me, always going at me. When I was younger, he was my buddy. But when I got saved and I started working for the Lord, he just let me have it constantly. And one day he attacked me and said, "You just don't let anything bother you, do you?" And I said, "Excuse me?" He says, "You just don't let anything bother you." He says, "Matter of fact, I wonder if you even care." He says, "Because you walk around smiling all the time, no matter how bad it gets." And I said, "That's not me by myself. That's the presence of Jesus with me, which brings peace." And months down the road, when he really needed some help, who'd he go to? He called me to my house, went into my house. I was expecting him to get me like he normally did. But instead, he said, I need you to help me. I'm having problems with my son. And he just left. I'm not sure he'll ever come back. Tell me what I need to do. And we got talking. We talked for over an hour. He went back home. His son drove up. And his wife called me and said, what did you do to my husband? And I said, I'm not sure what you're asking. She said, he's out in the yard, and my son's out in the yard, and they're hugging each other, and they're crying. And he said, something's happened because that's not my husband. He said, I don't know what's going on. What did you do to him? I said, it weren't me. I said, it was a higher power. Amen. And then she come to the house, and my wife went in the back room with her, and she accepted Jesus. So I'm telling you, peace, lightness. Just in the last few weeks, I can think about things in all of our lives. You know, we've all had some tough things in the last few weeks. You know, and I had somebody in my family just last week and the week before last, when this all was going through with Bethany, the stuff with Bethany, and going through with Linda's health and some other things, and I was sitting there just smiling. And I was even telling some jokes and carrying on, and they said, you just don't even know anything's here, do you? And I said, excuse me. They said, do you even know what's going on? I said, yeah, I do. I said, I went to the jail. I said, I've gone to the hospital. I said, I've been at all the doctor visits. I've talked to every doctor. I know what's going on. And they said, well, how can you be like this? I said, because I got tired of carrying it. And I give it to somebody that can take it. Because I can't. And then somebody else asked me, another relative actually got mad at me, and said something about, why do you seem to take this with a smile? And I said, faith. And I won't tell you what they said. But it had something to do with a cow. Yeah.
And a male cow.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, think what you want. I said, I'm not trying to ignore what's going on. It's just that I'm going through it with God's presence. And God's presence brings peace. Peace. So tonight, my challenge to you is, if you need it, remember the fluke anchor's out there. Jesus can stabilize you and give you that lightness so you don't have to feel that burden all the time. Give it to him. And when you feel it coming back on, you just say, hold on, I've given it to him. I'm not taking it back. It's his. I'm giving it to him. It's his. All right? So now, even in the heaviest of our circumstances, the death of a loved one, a devastating diagnosis, when we're struggling with ourselves and questioning our decisions, when we have unforeseen changes and challenges, when we're doubting who we are, doubting who he is, Jesus anchors us with his power. Jesus anchors us with his peace. Jesus gives us something that a bottle can't give you. Jesus gives you something. There's not a drug that can give you this. Jesus gives you something that is amazing. I remember when I was pastoring in Williamston, there were so many former drug addicts there. And I remember one of the former drug addicts who actually had open heart surgery because of the cocaine he had taken. It was messed up his heart. And he told me, he said, I thought I could find peace in cocaine and crack. He said, that weren't peace. He said, it was a momentary fix that just took me away from it. He says, but now, he says, there's not a bottle. There's not a prescription. There's not anything in the ABC store. There's nothing my dealer can bring. Nothing that can compare to the peace I feel right now knowing Jesus has me. Wow. And that was a guy that I honestly... This guy here, his mom and daddy wouldn't have anything to do with him. They were scared of him when his daddy saw that I was with him. So I'm praying for you, son. He said, because he'll never change. He'll never amount to anything. That's what his daddy told me. But before his daddy died, his daddy and his mom, before they died, they were taking care of him. They were giving him blank checks to go get work done or to take care of things. Blank checks. You tell me that's not awesome. So I'm telling you, God can do this. So, Jesus sends his disciples here. Here it is, Matthew 14:28. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, Wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come out of the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. All right? So now, again, because even the winds and the waves are subject to him. So watch this. Watch this. Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him to by boat to the other side of the lake so he can take some time to pray. And in the middle of the night, while they're in the middle of this water, Jesus walks toward the boat. Wow. Jesus is walking on the same thing that you think is taking you down. He's walking on top of whatever it is that you feel like is rocking your boat, damaging your life, hurting you. He's walking on top of it, meaning he's in complete control. And astonished, Peter instantly wants to join Jesus on the water, and Jesus says, you can't do that. It's impossible. Is that what Jesus said? He said, come. There might be some impossible things in your life tonight, thinking you can't overcome it. And Jesus goes, yeah, you can. You can overcome it. With my help, you can overcome it. And so he does. He steps out and he begins to walk, but his faith in the known, then when his faith in the known is weakened by the fear of the unknown, he takes his eyes off of Jesus. That's where all of us wind up. We have a faith in the known so far, but when we see the unknown, then we start losing our eyes off of Jesus. He's consumed with fear. He starts to sink and he cries out. But then Jesus reaches out and he rescues him. So Jesus proves to be our personal anchor. When we look at life from a limited, finite point of view, rather than God's unlimited, infinite power of view, when doubt begins to dominate and faith begins to fail. So here we go. Now the next one is the plow anchor. Anybody figure out why it's called a plow anchor? So when I got that thrown out in the water, I can also set out some collards underneath there. I can set out some seaweed. Amen. Light collards. Amen. That's right. That would definitely do that. Okay. Usually it's massive and it's heavy and it's able to swivel and it's effective in rock, kelp, grass, weeds, seed, or sand and mud. It's a very, very awesome anchor. And here again, Jesus, again, is this anchor like the rest of them. You can hear me say it every time. Jesus is the anchor. Like the plow anchor, Jesus stabilizes us when all we can see around us is problems. And that's all you can see is problems. Know that he has got a handle on it. With its swivel capabilities, he comes in agility and adaptiveness to anchor us through a variety of situations. Like, how many's ever made poor choices? How many's ever been in trouble because you made poor choices? How many have been in trouble because somebody else made poor choices? Yeah, that's even worse. Okay, then there's money problems, there's prodigal loved ones, painful losses. And when our problems are perplexing and when they don't even make sense, Jesus never fails to be our anchor. All right, so here it is, Mark chapter 6, 47 through 52. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on land. And he saw them toiling in rowing. Let me see here, I've almost passed. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. Wow. Let me just stop right there. How many times have you been on the sea, and it's going crazy, and Jesus was walking on it and walked right past you? You know, I tell DC and Daniel little, fellas, if you let me, I can help you. And they go, nah, Dad, we got it. And then later on, they're saying, help! Help! The same way, here it is. You know, you're needing Jesus. But he's going to walk right past him. The reason he's going to walk right past him is because he wants us to recognize him. And he wants us to actually confess our need to him. Because if we don't confess our need for him, then guess what? We'll depend a lot on self. I found out that self, this self here, you know, although this self can be smart at times, sometimes it's not, but it can be smart, it can be strong at times, and sometimes not. But I found out something. David Linton can't handle all the problems David Linton gets David Linton into. David Linton can't handle all the problems that he gets involved in with others because they called him in on it and come on in to help us. So what we discovered is you have to have this anchor. So he would have passed him by, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed to have been a spirit and cried out, for all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And I love this saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. In the Greek, you know what he says? He says, don't be afraid, be of good courage, I am. Is this microphone making this noise? I think it's something up there because this microphone is not doing it. There's a big rat up there. Let's see here. I hear it right here. It's in this mic. It's in the hot spot. So obviously there might be something else left. Okay, Don is right here though. I don't see anything on, but it's right here. Okay. All right, here we go. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Whoa! He just fed all these people, and now their heart is hardened. They don't even consider that when he's walking across the water. Wow. How many times has God done something miraculous in your life on Friday, and by Monday you forgot? Matter of fact, how many times has he done something miraculous that morning and you forgot about it that afternoon? So watch this. This is really awesome. Immediately after Jesus feeds this 5,000 miraculously, plus women and children, so it's probably at least a minimum of 15,000 people. But most of the people have more than one child. And, you know, can you imagine them people, 5,000 men plus women and children, trying to get through the drive-thru at McDonald's? So he goes off alone to pray and sends his disciples by boat to Bethsaida. And he knows they do not understand the meaning of the miracle. But by evening, the disciples reach the middle of the lake, struggling to paddle against the wind. And Jesus watches them from the shore. Then in the late night hours, Jesus walks out on the lake. They become terrified, thinking they've seen a ghost. Jesus quickly and reassures them and climbs in the boat, and immediately the winds cease. Right? So now let's look at number four, the claw anchor. Look on the back and see what a claw anchor looks like. Look at there. the claw, that old claw anchor. Again, remember, Jesus is still the answer, but it's just different situations in life that relate to this. And so I'm just trying to pull some stuff together to kind of pull this all into one thing. So originally, the claw anchor was designed for offshore gas and oil rigs. That was the main thing it was for. It was mostly effective on rocky, gravel, coral bottoms. Anybody ever stepped on any coral? It hurts. Right, and if you just take a regular mushroom anchor, it's not going to do anything. A fluke anchor may, a plow anchor may, but that claw anchor is going to reach around. It's going to pull. Again, Jesus is our anchor, but like the claw anchor, Jesus stabilizes us when we're victimized. When there's vehement verbal abuse, violence, sexual abuse, and it claws the heart and the body, leaving us emotionally and spiritually scarred. For the times we feel powerless, Jesus is our powerful anchor, holding us strong and secure. As a pastor and as a counselor, this is some spots that's really hard, especially when this verbal abuse or violence and even sexual abuse, and then you've got him in the office and you've got the abuser and the abusee, and they're trying to make it right. And even though they're trying to make it right, still in the abuser's eyes, if he asks God for forgiveness in the abuser's eyes, he can't get over the guilt. And in the abusee's eyes, they can't seem to get over the shame or the hurt. And so that you got this never-ending cycle. There's abuse and shame and hurt, and it just keeps going around in circles. And so you've got to have Jesus. He's the one that's going to help you. While inside a boat, Jesus tells the disciples that they will also go across the other side to the lake. And once in the water, Jesus falls into a deep sleep and is not awakened. Let me read this. Luke 8:22-25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a strong wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So now, Jesus falls into a deep sleep and is not awakened by the storm that swamps the boat. And that's because he's at peace. Can you imagine the peace Jesus had? I mean, that's awesome. And the experienced crew believes they're about to drown. So in desperation, they cry out to Jesus. And with only a few words, he calms the storms. And then questions their faith. After all, hadn't he said they were going to cross to the other side? He didn't imply they were going to start and not finish. He was going to take care of it. I told you about it Sunday. If I've seen a movie, haven't seen it yet, I kind of wonder how it's going to happen. Like, how many saw the last Star Wars film? Okay, I'm a Star Wars guy, and I like, what's the Harrison Ford? What's that? The guy he plays, I can't think of his name. No, not Luke Skywalker. Who? Han Solo. Okay, well, if y'all are not going to go see it, if you are, you're getting ready to get a spoiler. You want to close your ears. Okay, in the middle of the movie, yeah, this is the seventh one. And so we're watching the movie, and I'm expecting Han Solo to go on to the next movie and start another thing going on. And he's trying to help his son. And he tells his son, here, I'm here to help you. And right in the middle of the movie, his son takes him and runs a lightsaber through him and kills him. A lightsaber, like a sword. A lightsaber. Yeah, he took it and threw it right down his throat, and he went. Yeah, that lightsaber got caught in his throat, and his son was doing Heimlich on him, and he just died. He fell right over. Okay, but what I'm going to say is, though, see. See, now that I've seen the movie, I don't have all those things of what they're going to do with Han Solo. What's he going to do in this movie? Because he always seems to get loose, always gets loose. But now he's trying to help his son, and his son kills him. And so now that I've seen the movie, it's not going to be like that anymore. But I spent the whole rest of that movie going, they killed Hans. I looked over at the boys and said, they killed Hans. And DC Nair said, yeah, they killed Han Solo. You know, but now I won't do that. I'll watch it again, unless I'm with somebody who's never seen it, and I'm going to say, watch this. My wife says, you spoil every movie that you've seen before me, because you go, watch this. Okay, what I was going to say is, though, the same way, Jesus has already seen the end of your life. That's why he can anoint you even though you've messed up. And you go, well, God, you can never anoint me again. Yes, I can. Why? Because I know eventually you're going to tighten up and fly right, and I can handle you. So you're going to be able to listen to me. So that's okay. So remember that, and just remember that he has you in the palm of his hand, and no lifesaver, no lightsaber, no lifesaver can choke you, and no Yeah, watch this. Yeah, watch it. Okay. Okay, there's one more, and then we're going to be through. Amen. All right, look on the back. This almost was like a parachute. It was like a fish net. Okay. I'm going to tell you. Watch this. Watch this now. This is the sea anchor. The sea anchor is a different kind of anchor. It doesn't even look like an anchor. It doesn't look like a fishnet. It's like a parachute. It's like on the back of a drag racer that have that parachute. You know, so here we go. Here we go. It's made of sturdy cloth, like a giant sail or a parachute. That's what it is. It's lowered in the water to create a drag and slow the vessel down, especially when the water depth is too great for other anchors to grab hold of the bottom. So this thing doesn't necessarily stop it. It slows it down to where you can handle it. Think about what I just said. It doesn't necessarily stop the boat, but it slows it down to where you can handle it. All right, now remember this now. Jesus, again, is our anchor. We like the sea anchor. He stabilizes us when we feel like a ship flailing in the water, out of control, tossed from side to side because either a compulsive addiction or a besetting sin. You know, there was this one Baptist preacher, he liked to gamble. And he goes to the racetrack, and he blew all his money, but just a little bit, on the horses. He looks over and he sees a priest. And the priest is over there and took the anointing oil, and he anointed a horse, to the sign of the cross on the forehead, and the horse came in first. So the preacher watched the next race. He went down there and he took anointing oil and he anointed the head, the cross on the forehead. That horse won the next race. He said, wow. He said, this guy's got something going on. So he went and withdrew every little bit of money he had left and bet it all. Well, waiting on the preacher or the priest. So the priest goes down to the next race and he sees a horse. And not only does he do this across the forehead, but he anoints his eyes. He anoints his ears. He anoints both of his feet, and he anoints down his side. And he says, wow, I know this guy's going to win. So he pulled all his money and put on that one horse. Halfway through the race, the horse died right on the racetrack, graveyard dead, laid down. The preacher walked over to the priest and said, what is going on? He said, I come in here, and I watched you. Every time you put that little cross on the forehead of those horses, they won. And I said, here comes one. You put the cross on the forehead. You anoint his eyes. You anoint his ears. You anoint his mouth, his hand, his feet, his side. And he says, and he falls down dead in the middle of the race. He said, that's the trouble with you Protestants. He says, you don't know the difference between a blessing and last rites. Okay, but a compulsive addiction, a besetting sin, and it may not be yours, it may be somebody you know. It may be somebody in your family. It may be a kid, it may be a spouse, it may be a parent. But something that they're doing, it just seems to toss you constantly back and forth. And it's like, God, can I ever get any peace from this? This is driving me up the wall. So, in the depths of our soul, he slows us down, helping us to see our continual wrong choices will wreck our relationships and shatter our dreams. So, Jesus anchors us when the powerful waves of personal disappointment leave us in despair. When I talk to people, just about without a shadow of a doubt, every time when I talk to somebody that is considering suicide or have tried suicide unsuccessfully, they'll tell me they're ashamed of themselves. They're ashamed of their choices. They feel like they've hurt people too bad. And they feel like they just can't find a way to get beyond the embarrassment, the shame, the guilt. And so they think the only way out is to take their own life. And this is where this, again, this special kind of anchor, this sea anchor, comes in handy. Because they get in this hopeless state in which the only recourse seems to be death. Or just totally leaving everybody out. Anything. What we tell you about in suicide, I just want the pain to. Remember that. I just want the pain to. Okay. But even in the most turbulent times, Jesus is there and he's our anchor. You know, let's read this biblical example. Acts 27:14-15. It says, but not long after there arose a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And this urokleidon in the Greek, if you look that word up, urokleidon, it's the same word used on land for a hurricane. A hurricane or tornado or severe storm is used in the water the same way. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. In other words, there's nothing we can do. Nothing. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing at least they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And neither, and now they've already thrown out all their stuff. They've got nothing. They've got nothing to control this. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. There are so many people. There's people in your lives. Matter of fact, as I see this right now, you can think of somebody in your life, maybe a coworker, a brother, sister, spouse, a parent, kid, or a friend of a kid, or a friend of a friend, that they're at this point. They may not tell you, but I can guarantee the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He'll put it to you. He'll tell you, if you'll listen, he'll tell you that person really needs somebody to come up beside them. And sometimes you don't have to go up and do a bunch of counseling to them. You know what you need? Just walk up and put your arm around them and say, you know, you're special to me. You know, I've had it before where I've gone up and the Lord say, just tell that person that you've learned a lot from them, or tell that person that they mean a lot to you, or tell that person that you couldn't have made it 2 or 3 years ago if it hadn't been for them. And so I go up to them and I tell them that. And when I tell them that, I'm sincere. I'm not making it up. I don't go find some kind of fake mess to tell them. They know it's fake. I tell them a real life experiences, but then tell them because it's in that time when you feel like they feel like they're tossed back and forth. They can't control it whatsoever. And again, you don't necessarily have to come up and say, okay, lay on the couch. Let's start writing this down. What happened? You can just go up to them, put your arm around them. Or say, hey, let's go out. You want to go out? You want to go get something to eat? You want to go catch a baseball game or a basketball game? You want to do something like that? Just don't take them to a UNC game. Duke plays tomorrow at 2 o'clock, by the way. They play NC State. Okay. I'm going to remember that one. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm going to use that when I talk about when Carolina plays. That's on the Comedy Channel. Amen. Of course, Duke was in the final part until they lost to Carolina by accident. And so they got moved back one time, so they got to play tomorrow instead. But that's okay because I saw State play today, and if they play tomorrow like they play today, we ain't got a problem. Okay, so here we go. Facing possible death. The prisoner Paul is transported by ship to Rome to stand trial. In the midst of hurricane-strength winds, the crew loses control of the ship. The tempestuous winds tosses the ship like a weightless cork in toward the shore. In an attempt to diminish the speed, they let down the sea anchor. There's at the end, it's put down on four sides. That was their only hope of not crashing into sandbars at a speed that would cause certain death. That's all they could do was slow it down. That's it. They couldn't stop it. They slowed it down. But see, Paul had a promise, and that was Jesus told him. And he said, the angel appeared unto me this night and said, or the Lord appeared and said, Paul, don't fear. Jesus appeared and said, don't fear. As you have testified me in Jerusalem, you're also going to bear witness of me in Rome. Don't worry about this thing. You and all the people are going to make it. All 276 people, you're going to make it. Don't be afraid. Right? So now, again, Jesus is our anchor. He can hold you secure in any storm because he has the power over every storm. If you'll notice in all these storms, you'll see that Jesus, every single time, was in total control. Not one time of these five instances did you see Jesus panic. The people around him panicked or were disappointed, but you never saw Jesus panic. Ever. Ever. And so when people, if you want to really be an influence on people, if you want to really be a leader and be an influence, then when things are going crazy all around you, if you can learn to be calm, you will lead people because they'll follow you. You know why? Because things are crazy in their life and they need a peace. And by you being calm, watch what happens. Yeah, I was excited when Wayne told me a story. Can I share it? story. I've already started something. I say, all right. Well, you say, no, you can't tell it. And all of a sudden, everybody goes, what happened? What happened? What happened? DC was out here at the creek fishing Saturday, and he thought he had his truck locked up, and he has a truck that you can push the buttons on the side and, you know, your combination and get in. So he leaves his keys in there and leaves his wallet and whatever, his computers, all his work stuff was in there. And it's a four-door truck. He thought he had it all handled. And so he's down on the water. And Wayne, were you working in the yard? Yeah, at the shop. And he said that he heard this feeling in his voice go down to the water. And he said, I'm busy right now. I don't really want to go. And he heard it again. And on the third time, he went. He said when he went down there, the first thing he saw was DC's truck. The lights were left on. And, because the normals would have cut off by themselves, the lights were left on. And when he goes to the truck, the doors are locked, but the back window was all the way down. So, somebody could have gone in his truck, taken his wallet, taken his computers, taken all of his work stuff, and it could have actually drove the truck off. So Wayne goes in there and he turns off the lights, cranks up the truck, makes sure to crank, put up the window, and then wrote back, I took care of it for you, bro, or something like that. And DC comes back and goes, wow. To say again, you know, DC wouldn't have panicked until he come back. Yeah, but that's so awesome is how God was looking out for him. You know, again, you got to know, even when you feel like everything's going crazy around you, God is still in control. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's trying to get Sierra, our Sierra, the one with a C. she is so big into sports and big into hunting and fishing. I got her a cup for thanks. I mean, for the other day it said something like, has something to do with camo's pretty and pink or something. I can't remember, but it was a pretty thing. But yeah, she's tough now. She's tough when it comes to that stuff. And so he's got her out there. And I reckon he feels like she's getting ready to get beyond that. I don't know. So he's trying to, you know, squeeze in those times with her. But y'all pray for him, because every time somebody starts talking about dating or something, he goes. They're talking about going to the school dance. He's going. He goes, Daddy, help me. Daddy, I'm starting to see spots. And I said, son, it'll be okay. I promise it'll be okay. But still, God took care of him. And so now, I can even think about lately, somebody was in a bad spot. I won't get into it because it's not fair to that person to reveal all this stuff. But I can just tell you, there was a person in a bad spot, and somebody else told another person, go to them right now. Go to them right now. And they came in at the precise time. Exactly the precise time. That if they hadn't have, the whole story would have turned out different. God's got it under control. Amen? Yes, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're our anchor. We thank you that you hold us secure. That we don't have to worry. Lord, even though when things come that make us want to doubt and make us, even if there's might be momentary times that we're doubting or momentary times that we're just so tired and we need your help. We know you're always there. We trust you, Lord. We know, God, you're going to take care of us. You got our back, and you're going to take care of us, and you're going to take care of our situation. Help us, God, to realize that you're our anchor and that you will not let go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the church said, amen. Now, y'all go home and color your anchors. and also, look, right there by your anchors, you can put a lifesaver.